in many ways, holidays like this, children for the holidays like this, remind us of just how truly joyful these experiences are. There's nothing like seeing the kids as they come down the steps on an Easter Sunday morning and they see the Easter baskets and they get dressed in their Easter best and we come to worship and experience Easter joy. It is an amazing thing with the little ones. More challenging when they get a little bit older. Teens. I love working with our teens. I love working with the youth group. The little ones over here, they ask me some interesting questions. I never exactly know what the questions are going to be. You know, anything from, I've had children's sermons before where I had a kid who just had a question they had to ask. And I finally called them and they said, would Jesus be a policeman or a fireman? Interesting theological question for which I do not have an answer. I don't know. An EMT, he's all about rescuing people, so maybe a fireman, but he saves us, so police officer, he's everything. But when they get to be teenagers, the questions that our teens ask in our youth group, they go from complicated funny to just complicated. Oftentimes when I am talking to our teens in our youth group, we will get questions like, what happens to a person after they die? What exactly does that look like? How does it work like? Who did Cain marry? All sorts of interesting things that we get in marvelous conversations about. One that I hear all the time is, how do I know Christ is real? How do you know Christ is real is not one question, it's actually three questions. Because when a teen asks, how do you know Christ is real? They're asking, first of all, how do I know? I mean, they want to know my story, and they want to know where my faith came from, and want to know how I came to be a person who believes and lets this be a part of my faith life. And that's an important story to tell. In fact, Christians have been telling this story to one another about our own personal experience with God from, well, it's the first thing that ever happens. The angel says to the women who are gathered around, go and tell the disciples what you have seen. The very first thing we as the people of God are called on, from the moment of our inception on Easter Sunday morning, we are called to be people who go to tell others what we've seen. So on the one hand, the first answer to the question is to go and tell what I've seen. To go and tell others how I've had moments in my life when it wasn't for my faith, I couldn't have possibly gotten through. Moments in my life when I did not know what direction to go or how to live or what to think when God gave me direction. Moments in my life when I was uncertain of myself and those around me, but I could stand on the certainty of my faith. Those are great stories to tell. Of course, they're also asking, how do we know Christ is real in the sense of how do we as God's people? How do you see God in our world? And of course, God has been powerfully working in our world. And there are so many ways that we can talk about God and how God has shaped and changed the world that we live in through the lives of those of faith. And this is a great and amazing thing that we do at Easter time. We recount all of the actions that Christ's disciples then went out to take to change the world that they were living in, to bring knowledge of the fact that not only did God live, not only did God die, not only was God resurrected in the form of the person of Jesus Christ, but that he did all of those things out of love for us. The first, foremost, and last, Christ is shaping and changing the world we live in by loving us unconditionally. And that is an amazing message to bring. But I think far more important when our teens are asking that question, how do you know Christ is real? What they want to know is, how do I experience that presence of God in my life? One of the most powerful things that I think we as people of faith must acknowledge is, again, attached to the season of Easter. The heart of every human being in the center of the soul of every single person that lives, breathes, that you've ever met and you will ever meet, no matter how dark and dreary they might be, no matter how chipper and happy they might be. If you really get to know a person, you know that in the center of every human soul, there's a hole. There's an emptiness. There's something we can't fill. That no matter how much we try, no matter how much we stuff into it, we never feel complete. It's where our anxieties come from. It's where our fears come from. It's where our sense of lack of value comes from. It is where each and every one of us turn in our darkest moments and we look into that deep, dark pit. And it can bring us great fear. Throughout history, people have given it names. Some of them more prosaic than others. Martin Luther looked into the darkness of his own soul, and he proclaimed that hole, and he called it Anfechtung, which is a great German-sounding word for something frightening. It just sounds scary. Philosophers call it existential angst. Theologians call it the presence of original sin. Jungian psychiatrists call it the shadow. But my favorite comes from Hebrew. When the Jewish people would talk about it, they'd call it Sheol. Sheol is the Hebrew word for the grave. It was the belief that dark center, that feeling of not being enough, that feeling of not being able, that feeling of fear and anxiety is the very presence of the grave in the heart of every person. When Mary and the other women went to prepare Jesus' body, they went to Sheol. And it's not just because they went to the tomb where Jesus was buried, but because they were going to face the very center of their own darkness, their own fears and insecurities, and they were going to face the dead body of their leader, their teacher, their rabbi, their friend, their brother, their son. They were going to face the sum of all their fears. They were going to Sheol. And when they arrived there, they found the exact opposite of what they expected to find. They expected to find a darkness that they simply could not fill. And instead, they found light. They found hope. They found resurrection. They found that Christ was living again. And they found the most incredible possession that we human beings have, faith. They found faith in a Christ who was resurrected. And it's important to note, when we talk about the fact that Jesus lived, died, and was resurrected, he lived, died, and was resurrected the same as any human being has ever lived or died. One very important difference. When Christ died, it was not to die into mystery. It wasn't as though Jesus didn't know what was on the other side of that doorway. He'd already been there. When Jesus died, it was not a death that led to uncertainty. What's going to happen to me after the grave? Am I worthy of heaven or am I not? Christ knew that death was simply his entry back to heaven, the place where he reigns on high. Death did not hold for him uncertainty, but certainty. Yet we're told that when Christ went down into the grave, he did not take his crown back up, sit down on the throne in heaven, and say, "Woof, I'm glad to be done with those people. They were awful at the end." Because he could have. What we're told is that Christ then continued his ministry in the grave itself. And that 3 days later, he rose from the dead. So that all of us who are a part of the life death of Jesus Christ, through faith, might know that we're also a part of his resurrection. Might know that the uncertainty we might face in life, whether we're facing the grave itself or simply the presence of all of death, that is fear and anxiety, worry and care, concern, that when we face all those things, we know that we share in Christ's resurrection. That when we look into the Sheol, when we look into the shadow, when we look into Anfechtung, when we look into our hearts, that part of us that could cause us to fumble and fall and be uncertain, that dark, empty place that, boy, human beings try to fill it with so many things, don't we? We try to fill it with success. We try to fill it with comfort. We try to fill it with, well, sometimes as human beings try to fill it with all sorts of unpleasant things, because, of course, we also are prone to problems like addiction and selfishness. No matter what you throw in that hole, though, it always just falls in and keeps falling. You can't fill it. But for those of us who have been given the faith of life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we look to that place of emptiness, we only find the resurrected Jesus Christ. We find the open tomb, which is now filled with the light of Christ's glory. We find the promise that God will stand with us no matter what we face, no matter how hard of a problem we ever come up against. Christ stands side by side with us because he's not dead. He's resurrected. He's living. He's living in us. He's living with us. There's nothing that we cannot face. There's no darkness that hole could ever present to us that Christ's light cannot overcome. And how do we receive that? By what means does the resurrection miracle of Easter come to each and every one of us? I'd love to make it complicated. I'd love to say, well, you have to do this and that and this and that and that and this and this and that. And when you've accomplished all those things, if you're good enough, then you get it. That's not the way it works. It's so simple, it's hard. Believe. That's it. The only thing that Christ requires of us is that we believe. That we have faith that he truly lived, truly died, and was truly resurrected in order that he might bring us all into his resurrection. That all who believe in Christ Jesus shall not face death but live again. And that all who face all of life's troubles and trials, the presence of Sheol in our lives, do so hand in hand with God Almighty, who loves us, who forgives us, who lifts us up to share in his resurrection. This is the message of Easter. And it is the central point. It is the point of Christianity. That the resurrected Christ shares his resurrection with us. That we will not face death without knowing that we live again. And we will not face the presence of death in our lives in all of its small, unpleasant ways without knowing that the resurrected Christ gives us the strength to overcome all of those things. This is the center point of our faith. And this is why Easter is the center point of our year. We, God's people, are the people of the resurrection. We ran to the grave with Mary. We saw the stone rolled away. And we had the truth proclaimed to us. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.